Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our first lesson for today. Dearly loved brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that the Lord endows His gifts and graces in a variety of kinds and amounts. We know that the Holy Spirit moves and goes where He will, as God chooses, because He is God. We have seen those truths in the public ministry, as we see in our own experience in other congregations and in our church bodies, called workers who have different gifts that they use for the good of the church. We see this regularly as there are those whom the Holy Spirit brings to faith through the preaching of the gospel of Christ, and there are those who remain lost as they choose to reject the Spirit's moving in their hearts. The Lord was generous to His church back in Moses' day, as He is generous to us in our day, and as He was generous to Jesus' disciples early in their ministry. The question is, do I, as a child of God, who is gifted and has the Spirit Himself, always appreciate the gifts and graces that God has given to some other pastors or to other believers? Do I get personally frustrated and maybe a little judgmental with God because there are people who I wish would return to Christ, or I wish there were people who would believe in Jesus as their Savior, and yet they continue to turn their back on the good news of salvation? Well, did Joshua appreciate the gifts that God gave Eldad and Medad? Did Jesus' disciples appreciate the gifts and the gift of the Holy Spirit that man who was not one of us have from God as he went around preaching Christ? What about the Apostle Paul in our second lesson, who realized that there were people out there who had false and wrong motives, people who were in the work for themselves, and yet, what does it really matter? Paul got it. He appreciated the fact that Christ was being preached. All of our lessons today center around the point of our theme for today, that there needs to be a proper perspective of one's self-importance in the kingdom. And that proper perspective sees the work of the Holy Spirit and rejects self-importance. And that proper perspective seeks God's honor and the kingdom's good. Moses was frustrated. He was getting a little bit tired of leading this little over a million people who made it their daily objective to complain about how good they had it when they were slaves in Egypt. You know, we've spoken before about that false and selective memory that the pleasures of sin give us. All they did was complain about the food, the kind of it, or the lack of it, or the repetitiveness of it. Moses asked for some help in directing God's people. And God, being as gracious and generous as He is, answered Moses' prayer and told Moses to select 70 elders who were known in Israel to be leader types, who would be the ones who could take care of God's people with him. And so Moses did that, and he called and ordered them all to meet around the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. And there, God poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit in a special way to anoint them as His leaders. Now, it was not that these men did not already have the Holy Spirit, because they were believers in the promise. This was a one-time special gift of the Spirit that enabled them to prophesy. We read that they prophesied, although they never did so again. And this would seem to indicate that this was not what we usually think of prophesying as an ongoing preaching of God's Word, but was some kind of an ecstatic speech that God gave them for the simple reason, but important reason, of showing God's people that He had chosen them, that He had endowed them with the gifts and the graces to lead them, because He had given them the Spirit. One of the Israelites noted that two of the 70, Eldad and Medad, for whatever reason, didn't make it to the tent of meeting. And yet God had poured out His Spirit on them also, and they were prophesying. But this man did not appreciate that fact, and so he ran to Joshua, and Joshua, likely more interested in his own position as Moses' helper, and thinking that perhaps this was calling into question Moses' authority and leadership, or was perhaps a direct rebellion against God's will, told Moses, "These two men who were not at the tent of meeting are also prophesying. And they really should stop that, because they weren't among the group that came to the tabernacle." Well, this was the very same opportunity that God gave Moses to point out to Joshua what Jesus pointed out to His disciples, that a proper perspective of one's self-importance in the kingdom of God takes second place to seeing the Spirit. That what is important is that God's Word is proclaimed. What is important is that Christ is declared. What is important is that God chooses leaders by His Spirit to take care of His people on this earth. And so Joshua, and again wondering who he was really worried about, in fact Moses asked him, "Are you worried? Are you jealous for my sake?" Seeming to indicate there, maybe Joshua, you're more worried about your own position. You're maybe more worried about what this is going to do with our leadership of God's people. No, God has given us these men to help us, to help me. And so we need to set aside our self-importance and see the work of the Spirit. Doesn't that also bring to mind John the Baptist? When people kept coming to him and asking him, are you the Christ? And what did John keep saying? No, I'm not the Christ. I'm only preparing the way. I must decrease so that Christ will increase. And so Moses was telling Joshua, we must decrease in our self-importance. In fact, there is no self-importance. We need to see the work of the Spirit, because there is the issue. Who does the work? Who is the power? Who extends the call? Who endows the gifts and the graces to public ministers and to God's people? It is not human beings that do that, but it is the Holy Spirit. The Lord has been most gracious to His church over the years, and He continues to be most gracious to us. And so rather than being caught up in our own self-importance with the gifts God has given us, rather we need to see the work of the Spirit in our own lives. We need to see the Spirit in pastors who have more gifts and greater gifts than I have, and be appreciative to God rather than become jealous or envious or resentful of the gifts that they have. as believers, and even as a congregation, as we maybe see other congregations or different congregations that seem to be growing in leaps and bounds through the preaching of the gospel, that we would become envious or jealous of them or resentful to God that we are not seeing the same harvest at that particular time, or become self-important in ourselves. And we talk about this often at our council meetings, how abundantly God has blessed Bethlehem congregation. But we should never begin to think of that in terms of our own self-importance, to begin to think that we are more gifted or more blessed by God than another congregation that is perhaps struggling or facing difficulties at this particular time. A proper perspective of one's self-importance in the kingdom is a proper perspective that sees the Spirit and rejects self-importance altogether. But that proper perspective also includes seeking God's honor and the kingdom's good. And that was the lesson that Moses was teaching Joshua. That was the lesson that Paul was reminding the church in Philippi about as he himself was in chains. It's the point that Jesus was making with his disciples as they wanted Jesus to stop the man from doing miracles in his name. He's really talking about the work that is bigger than just us. He's talking about the work that takes place in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. There are a lot of people out there who are not one of us who are preaching Christ for a variety of reasons, with a variety of motives, with a variety of false doctrines sadly attached and included with that preaching. But what does it matter? What really matters is that Christ is being preached. And so we are happy and glad and thankful that Christ is being proclaimed in the entire church. But now, listen to this part too. It does matter that they are preaching false doctrine. On the one hand, we do not become self-important or think we're better than others. We were reminded of that at our BME meeting this last week, that it is only by God's grace that we have the only Lutheran seminary literally almost in the world, but certainly in the United States, that has remained orthodox to God's Word and the Lutheran confessions. That we as this little church body, the Wells, with over 20 other little church bodies around the world have remained true to the Scriptures. But that's not because of us. That is entirely God's grace. And we dare not take any of the honor for ourselves, but see the Lord's honor. We do not apologize for preaching the truth that God so graciously gives us. And at the same time, we recognize that there are those in heterodox and false Christian churches that, in spite of the errors, are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And using that, the Holy Spirit brings people to saving faith. But Jesus also says false teaching, error that causes people to sin, that hurts their faith, is most serious. In fact, it's so serious that if you preach something that leads little ones to sin, it were better if a millstone were tied around your neck and you were thrown into the depths of the sea. It's better if you're taught error or you commit sin, and certainly teaching false doctrine is sin, but when one of your members leads you into sin, it would be better to cut off that member and be true to God's Word rather than those sins and errors leading you to hell where you would have to suffer eternally. It is God's honor and the expansion of the kingdom that is the most important. And so we recognize the Spirit's work in the preaching of the gospel, wherever that may take place, and we recognize and are warned about the false teaching and the sin that can get in the way of that Spirit's work, of the Spirit's work and those gifts. In fact, when Joshua came to him and said, Lord, those men shouldn't be teaching and preaching God's word, implying only we should, or only those 70 who are among us, only they should. Remember what Moses said? He said, I wish every believer got the gift of the Spirit so that they could share God's word. I wish every believer would avoid sin and false doctrine and would go out and preach that good news of the cross of Christ, that only saving gospel that calls us out of the darkness of error and sin and leads us into the light of that salvation and that forgiveness. And isn't this our wish as well? We pray for the furthering of God's kingdom through the preaching of Christ, wherever that preaching takes place. We pray for daily repentance for our sins, and that God would guard us against false doctrine. We pray that God would keep us from that sense of self-importance and honor and glory for us, but that it would remain Christ alone. There is no I in team, and there is no self-importance in the work of the kingdom. Amen.